Begin transmission.
You are listening to Corellian Run Radio, your route through hyperspace to the latest news on Star Wars: The Old Republic.
Hi, and welcome to Corellian Run Radio. This is episode number 75, and we are recording Sunday, September 30th, 2012. And with me today is my usual co-host, Deirdre. Hello, Deirdre.
Hey, Carla, how you doing?
I am doing great. And I'd like to welcome on front to our Writers Roundtable, Jason. Hello, Jason.
Hello, hello.
And we have Mayor. Hello, Mayor.
Good morning, everybody.
And we have Drew.
Howdy, everyone.
And we have John.
Pew, pew, pew. Hey, everyone.
And we have JD.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
And we have our newest writer, Joe. Hey, Joe.
Hi, how you doing?
All righty. Well, we're just going to dive right in. We've got some people that are going to have to leave a little early, and we want to make sure that we get this done in about an hour. We're going to try to limit it to about an hour. So we're going to start off with our first question. All of our discussions today will be about the brand new game update 1.4 that hit this past week. So the first question is, they did some great changes to companions and how you can hide their helm and color match their gear, and there are a few other changes. What did you guys think about those changes? Dee Dee, what about you?
I actually was a big, you know, proponent of you know, matching and doing companion matching and color gear and matching all of that fun stuff. So, you know, we've been talking about this for a good few months now and how it has been a distraction. And I am actually really, really ecstatic that they have listened to the cry of the fans and have actually made it happen. And it's actually working really fine because it works no different than ours. So, I like it.
Excellent.
I think it's great.
Excellent. I think so, too. What about you, Jason?
I really like the option they added to hide the helmet slot and the color matching. I have to agree with you. It works really good. Now, for me, I would like to see them add like three or four colors to choose a scheme, but that's just me. Give me, give me, give me.
Yeah, that's not too bad, but I do understand what you mean. I would like to be able to change the color, but I guess that means we have to change the chess piece, right?
Right.
So, all righty. Mayor, what about you?
I agree with Jason. I'd kind of like to see some color choices. You know, the unified color works to a certain point. Like, I'm in white, but my skirt does not match my chest piece at all. So, and I'm guessing it'll probably be the same on the companions, that they match to a point, but not completely. It's not a true match. So I would have preferred to have seen a color palette come in that we could change the colors rather than hide the helm and match the gear. To be honest, I would have rather seen that.
I like that idea, by the way.
It was Jason's idea.
Yeah, but I'm talking about to be able to bring in the colors and and I'm not just talking about what Jason said, but extenuating on what you said too. So that's kind of cool.
I wonder how difficult it would be to actually have a color palette available, if that would be a coding issue or whatnot. So every time you choose the ability to match to your armor piece, all of a sudden it, you know, it puts up a little color palette and you can pick out of those colors.
Well, I think they do it out of for Mass Effect, don't they? You can choose when you're playing multiplayer, you can choose your color scheme.
That's right.
And so I don't see why they couldn't just add it to like just a color wheel to the to this.
Well, they already have a color wheel for chat settings.
Yeah.
So the coding is there. They just need to implement it into armor or...
Also, in Tabula Rasa, they had, I don't know if you guys played or remember it, but they had an ability where you could, like, kind of color pieces would drop, not color pieces, but you could spray paint your color. So, like, these little spray cans of something would just be droppable, and then you could essentially, you're enchanting your piece with a color. So I was wondering if they could do that.
Yeah, see, they also had that in like Ion, and I know that someone just mentioned like Guild Wars 2. They have like ink or, you know, colors that you can find, you know, to add to your palette or whatever. That's kind of cool. That would, but I'm not sure if that option would be a little harder to code than just put the doggone color palette in there and just let us use it. You've already got it there for chat, so it shouldn't be too difficult.
Well, and the whole thing about the color is, with me being a fashion queen, and I'm sitting here with my, it's I notice it most on me, so that's why I'm saying it's probably going to apply to the companions too. The colors don't quite match. My skirt is grayish. It's not white. Like, my top is white and gold. My skirt is gray and whitish.
Right, right.
Well, it seems like it picks up like a crazy color that may be just a speck on your armor, and then it makes that the rest of your pieces.
And so the color matching, you know, if you used a palette, might better match everything because you choose the color you want it to match instead of it randomly picking up something that...
Exactly. Right. It's just really hard to get excited about it working for my companion when it doesn't really work for me yet. So, yeah.
Right. So, Drew, did we get you?
No. I was going to say the hide the helm is more impactful to me than the color matching, because I don't really care about the cosmetic abilities of my companions, but I want to be able to see their face, especially because the Rat Ghoul event had those companion appearances that have been up to this point hidden under helmets and things like that.
Or you can purchase those changes to your companion from different vendors, and you're still not seeing it because you could never hide the helm. Good point. Good point. JD, what about you?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that you didn't realize you wanted until you got it, and then it's kind of cool. So I like it.
Awesome. John?
Well, it is cool for those people that are going to use it, but for me, the Slave Girl, I like the Slave Girl headpiece, so... And I can still see the face, so Mako still looks good to me.
Oh, that's awesome. I would have never thought to use that. I just pass down my old gear most of the time. So that's kind of cool. Joe, what about you?
I love the feature. Some of the colors are really weird with some of the formal wear and the elegant dress stuff. And it was a little glitchy at first with having to click on and off and on and off again to get it to work. But I love the feature.
Yeah, I had a tough time. I don't know about you guys, but first of all, I love the companion changes. I love the color matching of the gear because my companions always look mismatched, okay? But I love hide the helm. I mean, because how many times have I griped about a helm? I don't wear a helm. So, I mean, I wear it, but I hide it. But I must say that when they implemented this... They have somehow messed up the coding for hiding the helmet on the player, because I fought for about half an hour trying to get my helmet hidden, because when I logged in, even though it said in my preferences that to hide my helm came unhidden, and even though the button was checked, okay? So what I ended up having to do is hide the helm on my companion, and I ended up having to take her helm off and put it back on, then take mine off and re-hide my helm. I mean, it was a nightmare. I mean, I ended up having to flip-flop and switch, and somehow they're linked and tied together because it didn't work until I fooled around with it quite a bit. So, but I love the fact that you can do that. So... All right, the next question is changes to operations. This is an exciting thing that I see several things going on. What are your thoughts, guys? Operations guy, let's start with you.
I was going to say, well, since this is my area of expertise, I am pleased to see that they are letting the story mode EC is being opened up. They nerfed it quite a bit, and it's I ran it after the nerf, and it's almost laughable on how easy it is. especially the tank fights, Stormcaller and Firebrand. Now the big nerfs is the shield generators are no longer be able to be damaged. But the other surprising thing was double destruction does absolutely nothing. You get it. Actually, the graphic is no longer there. There's no dot or anything. So there was, I think it was Joe that wrote about how people were complaining about now they don't drop black hole commendations. But considering how easy it is, I don't think it warrants dropping black hole commendations anymore. Before it was difficult enough where it would make a it was definitely worth it. But now it's on the level of hard mode KP and EV. So I think the changes are good and appropriate.
Well, I like that because it means
Sorry about that.
Go ahead.
I like that because I'm PvP most of the time, so I have really bad. I have no PvE gear. I have only PvP gear, and so getting into story modes is what I can do with War Hero gear. And I actually really I'm looking forward to trying EC because I haven't tried it yet, and it's been out for a while now.
Who is next?
I think it's really good that they nerfed down EC to make it so accessible. But with the pulling of the black hole comps from Terror from Beyond 2, it was a little bit much. Definitely agree with you on, they don't need to be in EC, though.
Well, isn't EC part of, DeNova is in EC, and now Terror from Beyond is in EC, so they're linking them both to the explosive conflict storyline? So maybe that's why they removed the black hole commendations from Terror from Beyond. But I tend to agree with you that it's brand new and it's harder and it's different, and they should have at least left the black hole comms dropping in there.
This is Ghost again. I've actually done EC story, or sorry, Terror from Beyond story mode now, and it's the first three bosses are very, very easy. The fourth boss is I don't want to do any spoilers, I guess. Well, I'm sure everybody knows about it. But as Kephas, he proposes a challenge. But the Terror from Beyond fight, I think that one warrants at least some commendations. So I would say maybe they should put in comms for 3 and 4. But with the first three, they really are easy. And you can pug those if you needed to.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to try and keep the raid progression going, because if you start putting in top-end gear in the story modes, then there's no reason to go back and do hard mode, KP and EV, and then do hard mode EC, and then do hard mode Terror from Beyond, which is what they want you to do, because if they don't, you're just obsoleting content for people that come late to the party.
Okay.
I'm kind of, because of course I'm a total noob at operations, have yet to do one. But if I'm getting started now, getting black hole comms, I can get it by running the weekly there on the black hole area and still get comms. Now that seems pretty easy. Wouldn't story mode EC warrant at least some?
They're giving you some. They're giving you 10 at the completion, isn't that correct?
Correct. The weekly still awards it.
Oh, just the weekly.
Correct.
Yeah, it's just the weekly.
Ew, so you're not getting any black hole commendations if you complete it. But can you complete it more than once a week?
You cannot. But I mean, it's still worth completing, because especially if you don't you're not geared enough, because the Kephas still drops a black hole piece.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still worth doing for people who are still gearing up. Now, opposed to that, story mode, Terror from Beyond, if you outgear the place, you do it once for the initial story quest. And unless that restarts every week, which we'll find out, I guess, next week, if it does not, it's not worth doing because it doesn't drop anything worthwhile.
Okay.
Worthwhile.
So you can only run this once a week anyway. And so if you're doing the weekly and it drops 10 black hole commendations, you're still getting your black hole commendations, but you're not getting as many because the bosses are not dropping them, or those special chests are not dropping them. Is that correct?
Right.
That's what I thought.
And actually, if you're only doing it for the weekly, you only have to do up to Stormcaller and Firebrand, because that's what they've changed the quest weekly quest to.
Ew.
And so, so you can stop there if you needed to.
Oh, no. If they were going to change it like that, they should make it all the way through. But then I can see why they don't, because some groups have not made it all the way through some of these things. So that's understandable. Anybody have anything else on operations? All right. Next one is, and this is one that I thought was really exciting, and that is that they changed the bind on pickup loot for these different operations. And does that apply to flashpoints as well? Anybody know?
I believe that it
does. I think it
does.
Applies to everything.
Yeah, I think it applies to everything too, but I just don't want to speak out of turn because people look to us for, you know, that information. But this is the exciting change that we're talking about, is the fact that if, let's say, you got a piece of gear assigned to you, whether it was on purpose or by accident. Let's say, you know, I'm an Imperial agent and I wear medium gear, and I accidentally need it on a heavy piece of equipment by accident. Or the master looter accidentally sent it to me instead of the right person. Well, before, what we had to do was put in a ticket and get BioWare to move the equipment from one person to the next. And then you had to jump through all kinds of hoops because you had to put, you know, who was the raid leader of the raid at the time? What time did you do it? You know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, just a bunch of stuff. And then you had to, you know, beg them sometimes because they didn't always do it. And
beat them up.
Well, now I ran into it. I actually used my black hole comms and first got the implant, and I was like, tried it, and was able to get back and get the earpiece, and actually was able to compare the stats. And in fact, if you wanted to, for other gear, you could actually duel somebody, check out the damage. You got 2 hours, and I was able to sell it back and get the other piece instead, and no problem whatsoever.
Wow. So you're talking about that is also another part of the change that they did, was if you went to the black hole vendor and purchased a piece of equipment with the black hole comms, as long as you didn't put it, I mean, there were several stipulations, so y'all please go read the stipulations, but one of them that I can think of off the top of my head, you can't put it in the guild bank. If you're in a guild,
or you can't try or to sell GTN. It, can't, or pull the mods.
Right. I mean, there's several, like I said, there's several things. You can't put it on the GTN, can't put it in the guild bank, can't pull out the mods. You know, there's several different things you can't do to make it non-transferable back, okay, or selling it back or whatever. But if you buy something by accident, let's say you bought the wrong thing from your black hole comms, you've got 2 whole hours to trade it back in, get your comms back, and get the right piece. The same thing goes for if you're awarded loot in an operation and apparently a flashpoint. If you get the wrong stuff, or you say, oops, this isn't really better for me now that I've looked at it, I apologize, here, so-and-so, who needs it? And you can transfer it to someone else, and it makes it really nice to be able to trade that. I do believe that they had to have been in the operation or in the flashpoint with you at the time. I don't believe you can just trade it to anybody.
That would be nice, but no, you cannot.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering, could you use it to like, hey, can you take that for me since no one here can use that, and I'll go get on my alt and I'll be right back.
Yeah.
I don't think you can do that.
No, I don't think you can. And I think it's fair. I think that's fair. I think that would be... You know, I know that people want to beef up their alts and stuff like that, but that would be unfair to anybody, running the flashpoint or the operation, and then to be able to grab that item and then, you know, and then trade it to, you know, one of your in-game characters. I do kind of agree with that. So.
Yeah, I like the way they've got it set up. I think the 2 hours is just about perfect because you usually know. And I really like it for that person that accidentally hits need when they didn't mean to. Mm-hmm. And can give the gear back right away, because I've seen that happen where somebody
– Amen to that.
You know, where somebody – they didn't mean to, or maybe they did, but either way, now you can get it away from the person who doesn't need it or shouldn't have gotten it. And I think it's about time, and I'm really happy that they finally put this in.
Me too. I am very excited about that change. Other games that we have played in the past have gone to something like this, and it has made it so much better. But it's not only makes it better for us, the player, it makes it better for the customer service of BioWare or the developer, because that means that's one less ticket that they have to deal with. So I'm very excited about this change, and I just think it'll help everybody that has accidentally purchased the wrong thing. I mean, how many of us have done that? I have. I purchased the wrong thing, and I'm going, oh, no, I hit the wrong button.
Ditto. Yeah.
And I'm stuck with it.
I did that once and didn't notice it for so long that when I did put the ticket in, they said, nope, sorry, it's been too long.
Right.
Yeah, I did it once, and that was all it took. And now I, like, quadruple check to make sure I'm buying the right piece.
No kidding, because those comms are too hard to come by, dadgummit. Alrighty, next, let's see. I know that John has done it, but has anybody else tried Terror from Beyond?
Not here.
Not yet.
Nope.
I figure by next year this time I will have gone through it.
I haven't even done it yet. I mean, it's all brand new, and I think my raid group, my little static raid group, and no offense to my little raid group, you know I love you guys and I'll always be there, but I think they were afraid of it.
Oh no!
I think they were afraid
to
try it. Also, I was on vacation.
We had something already planned.
That's true.
The problem, they had it on the schedule and they had it set up, so they. You know, and because I'm new coming into the group. We've got so many new people as we're expanding into 16s that, yeah, they just decided. They had already set up several days before what we were going to run through. So we weren't afraid, Carla, weren't.
I can say that because I was on vacation last week for a couple of days, so I wasn't there. You know, I'm going, y'all were afraid.
No,
yeah,
it's
I was wearing
definitely
my
get in
suit.
There. It doesn't take it really doesn't take a lot to learn. I mean, on story mode, everything is very easy to figure out. As I said, Kephis may pose a little bit of a problem, and Terror from Beyond, it is a fun fight. It is challenging because there's a lot of stuff going on. It's very reminiscent of So, because there's a lot of different platforming and jumping around. You have to kill this and that before you go into the next phase. But it is a lot of fun. And even the puzzle boss, the new puzzle boss, is a lot of fun because you've got this little speed boost going on. You're zooming all around the room, and it's very entertaining. Now, that may be just because it's very shiny new right now, but hey, we're still enjoying it.
That's awesome.
I agree with that. This is the most fun instance that they've put out thus far. I mean, you could see the progression since the first tier to the second tier to the third tier, that they're getting better each time, and I just can't wait to see, you know, what's next.
Yeah, definitely big improvements. And another reason to run it is because money. Oh my goodness, I think I made 250K just from the trash drop credits that drop.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Wait.
Really?
Wait. You're talking about they actually put an operation where the trash mobs drop something?
Drop money and mats.
You're kidding. Okay, that is like, oh my God, we have to try that now, because that has been one of my biggest complaints about doing operations is you go in there and you work and you work and you work and you work and you kill all of this stuff and they put all this stuff that you have to kill before you get to a boss and it doesn't drop one damn thing.
I think we should keep this on the down low, because if they find out that we're making way too much money, they're gonna nerf it. So...
Shh.
I know. Don't say anything. So, yeah. CRR listeners, please keep it quiet.
Just enjoy your money and That's hilarious. But no, that's really great news. That is awesome. All right. Anybody have any final words on Terror from Beyond?
I've got no.
Go try
new,
it out.
No new information on the hard mode yet. We've did the first boss, which is more challenging than story mode. But we haven't gotten any further since it dropped so late in the week. We only had technically one day because one of our normal scheduled days. But I'll have to report more on that in my columns as we progress through it.
Please do.
Yeah, I've done the same here. We did the first boss. It was pretty challenging, but pretty fun. And then we got about halfway through the second boss, which also very challenging and very fun.
Awesome. Cannot wait to try it. Cannot wait. Okay, next question. What do you think about the changes to the Groove Finder tool? For example, they put in now to where you have the option of being put back where you were before you accepted the cue to join and go to a flashpoint or an operation area. It'll put you back where you were before, or it'll just put you outside that instance if you so chose to choose that. So what do you guys think about that? I think it's awesome.
Well, my understanding is it will only put you outside the instance if you've cleared a good portion, you know, up until the first boss. Is that correct?
Yeah, you've got to have killed. Yeah. I think I read that you've got to have killed a boss. So it's like, okay, well, whatever.
See, the only thing I can think of the negative side of that is if I'm out and about doing my usual, you know, questing, I'm going to want to, like, repair my gear before I start, and I won't be able to do that at all, you know, up until we, you know, get to that first boss. So it's not like the getting ready and preparing aspect of it isn't available to you if you just walk out of the flashpoint or operation.
I think they may have addressed that, though. I don't know about all the other instances, but it's the best thing ever for my leveling scoundrel that I'm running through now. There's a repair droid on the inside of Mandalorian Raiders. I don't know if it's there in Katamimu or anything else, but I know that it wasn't there before, and it is now.
And that's awesome. If that's the case, then that's perfect. Then I mean, I've actually... and many of the people that, you know, we work with and we're around, and a lot of fans have been screaming for this kind of, you know, tool that actually does this. And I'm actually a big fan of it, and I think it's about time.
Yeah, yeah. I'm leveling heals now just because I can drop into a flashpoint pretty much whenever I want, run it, go back to where I was questing, and be just continuous.
That is awesome.
And I can understand why they did that, because they didn't want people just using it as a way to teleport somewhere. But I would like to. I wish they hadn't made it you have to kill the first boss. That's the only thing I'm not sure about. I mean, if you get into a group for some reason, not that I pug. But if you get into a group for some reason that's just wiping, and you decide to call it, then you're kind of stuck. It doesn't work for you if you haven't been able to kill that first boss. But for something that's going to succeed, yeah, I think it's great.
Anyone else?
I think it'll encourage me to use it more as I level, because I hated going, especially places like Tatooine and Voss, where you do a lot of traveling to get to the one spot for your class story, and then you get the cue pop right as you reach it, right before you do it, and then you're like, oh no, it's like 20 minutes back out here.
Yeah, that's probably kind of a bad thing, but you know, I'm one of those that I don't usually go and do a lot of other things waiting for the cue to pop. On something like that, usually I'm already repaired and I'm ready to go, but I don't do a lot of pug queuing. So if I did, I probably would want, you know, to be able to not have to kill that first boss. But I really like the fact that they're making it to where people aren't using this as a way to travel for free to a certain area, and then they leave the group. And
exactly.
The group is screwed. So I really like the fact that you have to kill the first boss. Or maybe it should be like you have to go in and kill some trash mobs, you know, or something.
Right.
But I, you know, maybe it doesn't have to be the first boss, but I like you have to go in and kill something, you know. So I don't mind that at all, because I don't want people to join a group just to abuse it and leave their group, you know, high and dry. So,
well, yeah, that's why I said, you know, it's obviously it's logical of why they did that. But I can also see the group that doesn't succeed at killing that first boss. That would be.
Yeah,
not that it'll be me, but.
Well, maybe even if you get to the first boss and you wipe, I mean, that's you got repair bills there anyway. So that's going to tell you that you're not just using it for travel.
Right. Right. Alrighty.
Speaking of travel, what does everybody feel about the new planet shuttles being able to not only go to the daily areas, but travel to the other daily planets?
You know, good point. I'm so glad you put that in because I had totally not read about that for some reason, or I just didn't click what it meant. But when I went to do my Corellia dailies the other day, and I went to the shuttle to get back on my ship, you've always been able to shuttle straight from like black hole area straight to your ship. But now you can shuttle from your black hole area to Belsavis or Ilum or your ship or back to the spaceport. And I'm like,
oh, wow.
Awesome. This is so awesome.
Yeah, I was like, yoo-hoo.
I have to do my dailies now.
I know. I mean, it's so much less painful. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, dailies were painful enough without having to go back to your ship and then go to the planet and then go down to the planet's surface. And yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's fabulous, and it's a good way to entice people, I think, to getting back to doing their dailies again.
Yeah, making that money.
It also pairs well with the rapid transport there because, you know, it had a 9-hour cooldown, so you couldn't use it to all the places. So now you can use it to, it didn't have it to the Belsavis, but you can use it to get to the black hole and then quickly shuttle to the other two and actually get them all done, like, within 2 hours.
Yeah. Did they I'm sorry, Didi, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Did they actually change? Does this make it necessary to even do the legacy thing? You know, to where we could legacy transport to those different areas?
You know, actually, as I said that, I think it's only the legacy only has it to the black hole. It doesn't do it to Ilum, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, it does it to Outlaw's Den. That's where it goes. I knew it went somewhere with open PvP, world PvP.
Yeah.
So you get to black hole for free, but it does kind of warrant. Is that really necessary to buy?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
No, I mean, I guess it depends on where you are, but you save your two load screens going into Corellia.
That's true. Didi, what did you have to say?
I was just going to say, you know, from a gaming aspect and an immersion aspect, it's always good to keep the gamer moving. And that is exactly what they're trying to do. And, you know, we can commend them for actually attempting and noticing that this was a problem for players. And this was, you know, a logout issue. I'm going to log out because I'm tired of this, you know, and this way it answers that problem. You know, it keeps people playing and that's what they want. So the longer that you're in the game, the more likely you're going to stay in the game. You know, and it's just better all the way around. And I'm actually really happy that they figured this out.
I am so excited to hear you say that because I had not thought about it from that perspective. But I think that you made a very valid point that, you know, we do like to keep moving. And it is annoying as hell to go from your ship to the planet, then the planet to your space shuttle area or shuttle port, then to the planet. And now to do the dailies. So yeah. Now that we can go from area to area, that keeps us moving. And great point.
Thank you. I try.
Yeah, you do very well. Very well. Very well indeed. Anybody else have anything else on that? All righty. Okay, here comes the big hoo-ha-ha. They made some changes to a lot of the classes out there on this game update 1.4. What do you think about the changes to the specific class that you play? Anyone?
Go ahead, Jason.
On mine, the Sith Juggernaut, the tank spec, I'll get mine out of the way quick because they really made minor changes. The smash, it works instantly when you push it. The animation then follows, so the damage is done quickly. And then the only other real change is the ravage ability. It now they syncs with the audio, so each time it does a hit, the audio actually syncs to that hit, and it works really nicely.
I was just going to say that the Warriors got some love this week, so it felt really good, at least for me as well. You know, so it was something similar, Jason. I was actually quite pleased.
My Sork, I was a little concerned about the CC issues, which I'm still not happy about, because when I use them, obviously, is not when I raid. I use them when I'm out soloing. So losing those is not thrilling, but then I'm just not out soloing right now. As far as in raid, the new heal is just absolutely awesome. That self heal, it's saving me time from having to, I can be a little less cautious with my force, so that each thing that I'm casting is not quite using up as much force, because I can, well, it's actually using up enough, but I can heal myself and bring it back right away, because I use consumption a lot and get my force back that way. So it's really, I noticed a big difference in using that when we were raiding the other night, and I really liked that. I'm very, very, I didn't think I would. I was kind of like, oh yeah, well, give me a spell, so what? But it really is awesome. When I actually got in there and had a chance to use it, I was thrilled. Well, so Mary, good job, BioWare, on that.
You play a Sith Inquisitor Sorcerer Healer, and
right.
You're talking about the new self-heal that it has. What about the overload that everybody was complaining about? How are you finding that that's affecting you?
Well, like I said, I only use that out soloing, and I just haven't been doing a lot of soloing lately, so I haven't had a chance to use it.
Okay.
And I also use it in flashpoints, but I haven't done any flashpoints, so that's when I use it. The raids themselves, you know, you've always got the tank who's making sure that stuff is not on the healers, but I won't know until I actually get into a flashpoint, because when they it was actually in KP is where I used it a lot.
Okay.
on the boss. But this last time I was moved from what I normally did, because normally I was one of the clickers,
right.
And I'm not a clicker anymore. Now I'm down actually healing, and so it wasn't an issue because I didn't have those little sneaky things coming up behind me that I needed to overload.
Okay, and so that people know, overload was a circular diameter around the Sith Inquisitor that bumped the whatever was in that particular area and pushed them back. And
right.
Now it's gone from a diameter area to a 15-meter cone in front of you ability.
Yeah, I moved them both. I moved that and electrocute, because they're both basically useless in operations now. So I went ahead and moved those off my main bars and put them over to the side somewhere.
Okay. Next.
Power techs really haven't changed too much. They reduced the range of one of the primary abilities, which essentially makes you now become a true melee. Before, you could actually stand off and be kind of a mix of a medium to a long range, but one of the core abilities has been changed to 10 meters or less, so you kind of have to now be in melee range. So, but other than that, it's pretty much the same. No big changes for me, at least.
Which one was that? Which ability? I haven't played my Power Tech yet.
That was gonna be what is it called, incendiary missile. That's for that's for the fire pyro spec.
So that's like the first skill you get in the tree, right?
It's actually on the second tier, or third tier, actually.
Okay, well, it's the first active skill.
Yeah, it's part of the tier, one of the tier skills that you get, but it's now, it used to be a 30 meter range. It puts a dot on the target, but does quite a bit decent amount of damage, but now you actually have to use it within a certain amount of within 10 meters or less.
Did Electro Dart also get down to 10 meters, right?
It did. So, but in operations, I don't use it too often. So, it didn't. That, like I said, didn't really affect me too much.
Anyone else?
My gunslinger, not very much changed. We got a new icon for Scrambling Field for some unknown reason. I thought the icon before was fine, but the new one is shiny and pretty, so I kind of like it. But I really, if Bioware, if you're listening, please give us our sounds back. We're not shooting pea shooters here. We have, you know, big laser pistols. They don't need to sound like pea shooters.
Oh no, so it sounds like pew pew pew, or is it a kaboom, it, kaboom, and it used kaboom?
It used to be like bam bam bam, but now it's like pew pew pew.
Oh. Those are important though. Like... Sounds are important.
I know.
They I'm are kinda important. Glad they're gone. Now sitting in the entrance area to any operation, it was like everybody in the world was just shooting off their guns left and right, and it was just cacophony upon chaos.
Because it was fun. That's fun. Now it's not.
I guess I never. You can shoot at something without being in combat. I mean, could
there's
you do
an
that?
AoE ability that you can use.
Oh! I didn't know that. That's
it's actually
cool.
Kind of useless most of the time, but it's really fun to use in fleet.
Oh, okay. All right. Anybody else?
Sentinel changes, because they're much like, very much like the Guardian and the Juggernaut changes that Jason already talked about, like with Smash. Of course, it's Force Sweep on the Jedi Knight side, but they also, when they went into our focus tree, which is the shared tree between the two advanced classes, they not only changed how, and this they did for the Guardians as well, of course, they changed how the talents returned focus. So now it's there was one that made most of your that made a slash, which is kind of like your one of your more powerful attacks, but it has a you get it really early on as a Jedi Knight. It made that return focus on crit, so it made it almost like an unending supply, and so that kind of that affected Guardians I think more than Sentinels, because they moved that ability to another skill, Zen, which we can pop when we have full stacks of that other resource centering. It's very complicated being a Sentinel sometimes, but now I have an unending, literally unending focus supply, it seems, and I'm really enjoying that tree more than I used to, so I'm excited about that.
That's awesome. Anyone else? Okay, well, I'm just going to say Bioware, still no lovin' for the Imperial Agent Operative Healer. I'm very sad. No loving at all. I mean, no changes, no bad changes, but no loving either. How about making our AoE a true AoE to all the players in our operation? Hint, hint.
What, Imperial Operative Healers need help? They're pretty much invincible.
Oh, they are not. They are not. You're talking PvP, not in operations. We're like useless. We're so useless.
Now, wait. I have run operations with you, and I've seen, I know that I put out ridiculous amounts of HPS, and I've seen your HPS and direct heal is way over mine.
Okay, well, maybe I'm just feeling no loving.
You get the nerf bat with the AoE heal, yeah, but your direct heals are just beast.
They're mind-blowing. Honestly, I envy them on my commando.
Okay. I still want some AoE loving. Anyway, all right, going next. What about changes to PvP? Okay, now I'm going to step up on my soapbox and I'm going to go first, okay, for a change. Because I am so upset, BioWare. I am not an avid, you know, Warzone type PvPer. And I've always said that I love open world PvP, that which is non-existent right now. Mm-hmm. I'm still waiting for changes to that. Okay. But I have recruit gear. Like, you know, in the last patch, y'all gave us the last major update. Y'all gave us this unique little token that allowed us to buy a complete set of recruit gear. Or we could sell it and get 320K or whatever it was. I took the recruit gear because I wanted to be viable in PvP war zones. Well, first of all, I have not felt very viable in that gear. Okay. And now I find that there's a new set of recruit gear that's even better than the recruit gear that I have. And I have no token, no ability to trade it in. So now I'm even less viable because there's no way to get rid of the PvP gear because it only sells for one credit. Okay. And I have nothing to get the new recruit gear unless I want to buy each piece individually. And that's really not fair to those of us that have the old recruit gear because you have not made us equal on the playing field. So in relation to the new PvP gear, I'm not a happy camper. Just saying.
Yeah, I think it was a good move to include a better set of standardized equalizing gear that raises people closer to the war hero people. And I think that was a great move. I think it was a bad move for them not to put a separate quest in where you could take the Mark II recruit gear for, and they didn't even have to put a token in, but just to give that away for free. It just doesn't make sense. I agree with you completely because it's encouraging people not to buy it, and which means that you get people on your team that don't have it, which means that you suck because, you know, half your team is not geared.
No, now you know what I do? My recruit gear is sitting in my bag and I wear my raid gear because I survive a lot better in my raid gear right now than that lousy recruit gear that I have.
Really?
So, yes.
What raid gear do you have?
Black Hole.
Okay, I'm just wondering, I didn't know what level.
Black Hole, yeah. And I have a one campaign piece and almost full Black Hole stuff.
Yeah, I was kind of doing some math the other day looking at this, and I think that if you have the top tier PvE gear right now, mm-hmm. it's better than the Recruit 1. I'm not sure if it's better than the Recruit 2, but I know it's better than the Recruit 1. And that seems wrong because you see a lot of people stuck in the old recruit gear because they can't get to the new recruit gear without spending just obscene amounts of money. And they have their PvE gear. Why shouldn't they wear it?
Right. But I think they just made it a little hard to obtain the pieces of gear for PvP. It shouldn't be that I have to run 10 or 20 Warzone matches or 30 or however many to get one piece of gear. I mean, it takes so much effort, especially since you're not getting but one commendation if you lose. And if you've got people that don't have good gear, they're not apt to win a lot. And I think that if you lose, I mean, because I end up doing random just because I don't want to be embarrassed, you know, embarrass my guild, but going into PvP matches where, you know, I lose because I'm in terrible gear, I tend to, you know, do some random war zones. And so I end up losing a lot. Okay. And do you know how hard it is to crawl up with just getting one comm or the minimal comm? Sometimes I've gone into those and just gotten the bare minimum because I haven't. All right, my PvPer people, what is it called when you get those? You do so
medals.
Many things. Medals. Thank you. Because I don't know enough about war zones to know what to do to get medals, and you see these people that are doing all of the things to get medals only and not strategically trying to win. Okay. They're just doing what it takes to get medals. And here I'm doing what it takes to try to win. So I'm not getting the medals. So I'm not getting the commendations. And I think that that's really backwards.
Uh-huh. Well, that's why they put the nerf in for the number of medals that would affect your final tally at the end. I think it caps at 8.
Yeah, but some people
you see
still
with 14 don't get anything past, 9 through 14 is pointless.
Oh, well, not to them because they're egotists. I mean, they want the medals to show, look, I got 14 medals, and they screenshot it, and they're happy with the loss. And it's just, it encourages, I don't think you should honestly get medals past 8 personally, in some ways, because, you know, you've earned your 8. Okay, great. That's your capped at medals. And it's just the whole mentality of the war zones right now is really been bothering me for a long time. But I do pugs quite a bit because I just don't seem to catch my guild on at the right times to do ranked. And there's this mentality of definitely these lone wolves coming in and wanting to do what they do and not really caring about what the objectives are, or even, I mean, they'll treat Hutball like Voidstar, like Alderaan Civil War, and not even care.
Yeah, I've run into those guys. It was one, as I was leveling up my agent through PvP, at the beginning of every Hutball match, said, "Hey, I'm just here to kill, I don't care." It was just annoying as can be.
Vote to kick.
Yeah, no kidding.
But it doesn't work.
Yeah, then he'd shoot somebody and he'd be immune to vote.
I know, it's so annoying. That system is broken. So broken.
Didi, do you PvP?
I do. And honestly, I think that they've made it a chore. And so it's discouraging in a way. And I think that is something that needs to be fixed. It strikes me as what I'm hearing and kind of what I, you know, see around the net and also in game is that it's very much for PvPers, it's very much kind of like the dailies complaint, you know, the old school dailies complaint where you just like it just felt like you were just a chore, you know, to get those medals and commendations and stuff like that. And it's really sad. I wish there was, I don't have a solution. So, you know, for me to complain about it, I feel kind of bad. I feel like I'm just ranting. But, you know, I think that it still needs a little bit of work. You know, there's been a lot of people who have had like, you know, comments about how the gear, you know, gear that you use in some levels of flashpoints and operations should be also usable in PvP. And I don't know if I agree with that one. Actually, probably I disagree. And I think that a lot of people would scream. But I don't know. I mean, it just seems like a broken system. I'm not sure this is something that they can fix, you know, in just a patch. So.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I think that, well, we know that open world is broken and they need to make that a priority. I mean, I know that there are more people that do PvE content right now than PvP, but the reason is because so many things are broken or they feel like such a chore. I know that trying to, when we had our PvP event about a month ago, in OTG, I really worked hard to grind out just getting the chess piece so that I could color match the chess piece so I wouldn't look like a noob, okay? I may have been a noob, but I wanted to not look like a noob. So I got my first piece of Battlemaster gear. That is the first one, Battlemaster, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I you know, I grinded that out, and that was a horrible grind. Days and days worth of grind, because I could only stomach so many, and then I just have to quit for the day.
Well, this goes along with my original, you know, statement of, you know, keeping the player playing. And when you add so many discouragements, people will begin to, you know, either stop playing that particular thing and go and play other things, or they will just stop playing altogether because that's what they prefer to play. So, you know, the PvP crowd, this has been a long-running complaint of theirs. And I want BioWare to pay attention to it and to be open-minded about doing the same thing for this that they did with kind of like the travel, so to speak, with operations and flashpoints, you know, and just kind of keep the player playing. What can we do to keep that person in the game and going from point to point to point to point, you know, instead of the discouraging, I feel like I have to work for this and I've been working 2 or 3 days for this and blah, 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 you know.
So. I agree.
Well, here's what happened. I mean, rewind to 1.2, and when rank war zones were promised and then they weren't ready, so they canned it for a while, you know. What they did, and this is what went wrong, and this is why this has become such a grind, is they allowed war hero pieces to be purchased with regular commendations. So the people who were playing constantly, you know, those are the people that don't have lives, got war hero gear in the first week, and you know, had all of this, they were geared to the nines, and then the people who, like me, who are still trying to get War Hero gear, who don't do constant regular War Zones, we were behind the curve. And then when ranked War Zones came out, then there's real no real reason to do those, but that was where the ranked commendation should have come from. And so it encouraged everyone to just gank the new people in regular PvP. And it's just, and I just, that's what created the grind.
Yeah. That happens. I mean, for example, Hutball, okay? I can go in Hutball, and before I got my chest piece, it was like people spotted me in my recruit gear. And I couldn't even walk to the center. I could not make it to the center court without being ganked by two or three people. You know, and I was repeatedly killed and thrown back, and I have to wait on that invisible door that I hate so much.
Okay, I have to, you know, with DD making people want to play it more, so I'm going to pose a question to Drew. Do you think possibly, because a lot of this seems to come in the ranked area with the problems, do you think that there need to be more brackets, maybe even a gear rating system?
Yes, and I think that what needs to happen is you cannot get ranked combinations with regular combinations, period. That needs to be taken out of the game. So War Hero is only able to be purchased if you play ranked War Zones. Then you take it, so there's two brackets of regular War Zones, and one of them does not grant commendations at all, and that is at a certain expertise level. So like, say, I think it's 1100 is when you have Battlemaster gear. At 1100, you're taken out of the ones that are given commendations, and you're put into the bracket that does not give commendations. And it's basically for the people who don't want to play ranked, but just want to have fun with PvP, but they can't earn gear by doing it, because that's their cap. So you have basically the recruit level, you have the Battlemaster level, and then you have the War Hero level, and that makes sense.
Right.
Wouldn't that increase the queue times, though, because their people are more separated?
You know, that's a population issue. Not the mechanics are breaking the population.
Right,
PvP.
And I think population issues are now null and void. We've got plenty of population on every server. I also think that, you know, the whole entire point of PvP was for people who were slightly casual gamers to be able to come in and play. You know, they have 30 or 40 minutes, you know, a night or every other night to be able to come in and play and be able to do something, you know. And that has since ceased to exist. It's now become, you know, just as much work as normal story mode play, you know, and probably as even more so. You know, I think that I understand what BioWare did. They're making these different kinds of elements for every kind of player and gamer. But I think what that has done is that's also gimped the game in a way, because now every person that logs in feels like they have to overwork in order to get any kind of advancement in the game. And that can be discouraging after a while. So
I agree,
but I'm repeating myself. So
yeah, I agree.
Well, there was an interesting thread on the online on the Star Wars forums that were, so this guy was recommending that PvP be removed completely from the game because it didn't fit with the idea of BioWare, because it's not story-based. PvE is really what they're good at. And I think that in the myriad of comments that followed, you know, most of the people were telling him that that would be crazy and they would lose subscribers, which is true.
Right.
Me for one of them, honestly. And I obviously they're not going to do that. But the fact is, it brought up some good discussion points in the thread about how PvP could be tweaked, because it does seem like a grind, and it seems like, because you only have four war zones, and yes, you face many different players, and that's what really keeps me going, but still, it's still the same four war zones, and you occasionally get one that you hate, like Carla's Hutball, and
it's not my just Void Carla.
And my Void Star, I hate Void Star, I can't stand it, it's the worst one for me, and the other three I'm fine with. And it's like, you know, you get these little things. So being able to pick the war zone that you want, really easing up on CC or removing it to altogether, things like that should be things that BioWare is thinking about, and I'm sure they are.
Well, don't y'all think that we haven't heard about anything exciting in PvP in a very long time. In fact, it's been kind of eerily silent, you know. Is that something that we need, maybe that we need to hear more about because we're not hearing anything? I mean, I don't want to hear soon, you know, but what is it? They took Ilum apart in January and yeah. Wasn't it January?
I think it was January, yeah.
And we
At least
are
they,
now...
they started taking it apart in January.
Right. And now here it is almost the 1st of October. And we still haven't seen anything for open world PvP. And I'm going to keep drilling the damn open world PvP because I think it's an important part of this game. And it just makes sense to have the Republic against the Empire. And we need open world PvP. And not just on PvP servers. I mean, that was one of the big drawing points is that they were going to have... you know, different lakes or different areas on many different planets. They didn't say one planet. They said several planets. To me, that means several, okay? Uh-huh. And we don't have that. And the when we do have open world, like on, you know, Outlaw's Den, we have no reason to go there. So, come on, BioWare. 10 months later... we're still wanting some viable solutions to our open world situation. Not that we don't know that you're working hard. We do know that. We love you. But please, please fix open world.
I agree with
you. I don't think we're going to see it.
I think this is an issue that needs addressing for immersion's sake. You know, I mean, this is clearly a story about good and evil. And to not have that is a ridiculous play upon their part. Do I think they're working on it? Absolutely. Do I think that we're going to hear about it? No, because they've been bitten before. Every time they say something, you know, we bite when we don't hear enough about it. And then every time they oversay something, we bite because we're hearing too much about it and not seeing enough. So I think BioWare is definitely between a rock and a hard spot.
Right.
In that if they say anything, you know, they're lambasted. And if they say nothing at all, they're lambasted. I think this is going to be worked on. I think that in one of these 6 week cycles, we'll all of a sudden just see it as part of a patch. You know, this is not something that they're going to talk about because, you know, they're going to expect people to complain.
Well, I'd like them to do that. I mean, I'm okay with them sneaking it in a 6 week thing, you know.
Me too.
I don't necessarily have to have a new war zone. Just fix some of these other things like Ilum.
Yeah, like Ilum.
Ilum. Yeah.
Yeah, something already there. Fix the things that are already in the game.
Exactly.
I'm saying we get a bunch of like Imperials together and just go take one of the Republic bases out there in Tatooine, hold it until BioWare decides to create open world PvP.
Oh my gosh. Awesome.
I'm in.
Occupy Tatooine.
There you go.
Exactly. There we go.
That may be the best idea I've ever heard.
That's awesome.
Mark that one. That's another one, Jason. Write that down.
What is it? The smuggling. I don't know what it is for the Imperial agent operative, but you can smuggle people with stealth in past the other people. And just
oh yeah,
people.
That's right.
Oh yeah, there we go.
That's right. Hide an entire group, and but it's got such a short time limit; it wouldn't last very long. So
yeah.
Anyway,
name the server, name the time, put it on CRR.
There you go.
Everybody get on one faction and just hold it.
That's right.
Yeah.
We demand to talk to your leaders.
You know, we could actually name all of our characters something similar, like, you know, one word dash one and one word dash two and whoever can get in and just...
Occupy.
Yeah, occupy one, occupy two.
Occupy SOTOR.
Exactly. And
it's
do
on
it.
Right there.
It's on. All right, come on, fans. We got to do this.
Server.
That's right. The Shadowlands. Come to the Shadowlands. Lord have mercy. We're going to be in so much trouble. Sorry, BioWare. We love you. All righty. Next question. What do you think about some of these bosses having a respawn timer reduced? Like, I was so excited. Remember my rant a couple of weeks ago about the Nightmare Pilgrim boss and it having a 2-hour damn respawn timer? They reduced it.
Carla, you just need to speak up sooner because you speak up and they do it.
Oh, believe me, it's not me.
And where's the world PvP?
Yeah.
That if you want something in-game, give it to Carla. She'll mention it on CRR and all of a sudden it magically appears in-game. So it's great.
That or TorWars.com. So.
No, they don't listen to us. What are you talking about?
But I was very excited to see that it went down to 30 minutes. I still don't see the purpose of 30 minutes. It should just be a 10 or 15 minute timer, but I'm much happier with 30 minutes versus 2 hours.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, you're right though. It shouldn't even really have a timer. Once somebody kills it, should be pops up immediately because having killed it, it gives you a 5-day cooldown before you can kill it again.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't see why they just remove the cooldown. It was when it was 2 hours. What we would actually do, since we have such a big guild, we'd ask our guildmates to come to Voss just so we can spawn a second instance, because it's based on instance. It's not right. Actually, so you can actually spawn a second one and do it there. So that's what our strategy was. But it really just should be just taken off. Just put that debuff on there, like you were saying last week
right.
on the podcast. For the world bosses, they should just add a cooldown for every single world boss. You can only do it once a week or once every 5 days, and that's it.
That's right. I mean, you shouldn't have there should be no need for a spawn timer. I mean, yeah, seriously.
I'm trying to play devil's advocate and think of a reason to have the long time. I can't think of one.
I tried to think of it too. I mean, Didi, do you see a reason why there's even a timer on these things?
Absolutely not. And I believe that we talked about this last week on last week's episode. And I cannot for the life of me think of why we should even have one. You know, I personally have always felt like, why, you know, I mean, it doesn't make sense to me, you know, and it's one of those things. I mean, I certainly didn't understand the 2 hour timer, but I like you, I'm glad at least it's 30, but to have any timer whatsoever doesn't make sense.
Well, yeah, I was trying to say, your friend. Idea of keeping it's the things flowing, rhythm. That's right.
Playing. Yeah, if you can't keep the player playing, then get out of the, you know, get out of the business of making MMOs. Because that's, you know, every MMO across the board, the way they keep their numbers and the way they keep their players is by keeping the player playing. That is a motto that's shared across every company that you'll ever know. So BioWare, listen to that. Put it on a bumper sticker. Put it on every employee's car in the company. Because keeping the player playing is an extremely important concept. And if you can't seem to figure that out, then you probably need somebody else to help you. And that's what we're here for.
Exactly. Help. Exactly. Didi for developer ideas, gaming ideas. Didi.
Or just hire me, BioWare.
That's right. Hire Didi.
I can be a co-developer of ideas. I'll start listening to podcasts and being like, hey, this is what they want.
Exactly.
I think they are actually. I saw a posting for them hiring a database administrator. So, if you know anything about database, they are hiring.
No, I don't, but I could learn pretty quick.
Yeah, did, no kidding.
Also, speaking of respawn rates, I did check out Black Hole. The boxes that you hate, Carla, are now down to 2 minutes. I verified this.
2 minutes, but that's 2 minutes too long. I mean, seriously, why do they not just respawn immediately?
So nobody just camps one box.
Well, but if they put that little trigger in there that we talked about last week, where if you clicked on that box, you couldn't do that box again. It wouldn't respawn for you, but it would respawn for everybody else.
Right, exactly.
You know, that'll solve that.
Oops, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I think that's because there was something that they said in a developer diary at some point or another about the character sheets already being incredibly weighty as far as the overhead required for them, and putting on all these additional tags would just suck the performance out of the game.
Well, that makes sense.
Okay. That does make sense, and we certainly don't want them to do that, but that still does not negate the fact that the amount of players waiting in line for a spawn, because it takes 2 minutes to spawn,
But if you make that drift, though, that 2 minutes, it's really quick, though, compared to what it used to be.
And I know that they're worried about spawn griefing, you know, the people who just click it to click it, you know, because they want to be jerks. And that's all fine and good. But I don't know. I had this problem with the, what was it? The last, big world, thing that we enjoyed.
Right.
So, you know, about those boxes spawning and never spawning again or taking 30 or 40 minutes to spawn. It was just ridiculous. And I didn't finish the thing because of it. I just got discouraged and finally gave up.
Yeah, thank God that the dailies are not like that, you know, because once you finish that quest, you're done. It doesn't appear for you again. So, you know, you're done for the day.
Right.
So,
right.
Not too bad. All right. Anybody have anything else before we close the show?
I would say I do like how they're going with the GTN. I do think they do need to increase, like, the stats sheet. Search thing needs to be like a toggle option, because when I search for something, I'm searching for multiple stats.
Oh, I thought you meant that they broke it and you were being sarcastic.
Well, that too. But no, the stat thing, I do like the stat option to search for a stat, but I think you should be able to toggle like more than one stat.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I mean, because I agree with you, because a lot of times you are looking for multiple stats. And, John, I can't help but laugh, Phil, when you said, for those that don't know, the GTN was broken for a day. So
then fixed, then broke.
Mm-hmm. It was fixed and then broke and then fixed it with this new game update. But it's working, and I haven't run into any problems with it so far. Have you? Anyone?
I actually one of my guildmates has complained that they've actually bought something that wasn't there, and they actually had to get refunded the credits that they spent.
Oh, you know what causes that, though, don't you? Somebody purchased it just seconds before they did.
Okay, so it's still
because
still
I had that happen
screen.
To me. Yeah, I had that happen to me. Here. Yeah, it happens, but that's you got to be faster on the click. I want to purchase this button. You know, when you see a good deal like that, because that just means somebody snatched it right out from underneath you.
Mm-hmm.
So, alrighty. Well, I believe it's time for our quick mentions. Didi, can you do those for us?
I will absolutely do those for you.
Excellent.
The quick mentions for today are, don't forget to stop by CorellianRun.com and read all of our wonderful weekly articles on guilds, PvP operations, current game events, and much, much more, written by all the fine people that you hear on this podcast today. So
excellent.
Go.
Excellent. Well, and I want to thank all of our writers for joining us today. I know that's a kind of a ding in their Sunday, but we thank you very much for being here. Please take a moment to leave us a positive review on iTunes. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Zune, and you can also find us on the Ego Networks at egonetworks.com. Also, don't forget to listen to our sister station at torwars.com. And I encourage you to listen to this last episode that they just did. What was that? 104, I believe?
It was 104.
104. Because I guarantee you that if you listen to that, you're going to want to answer those questions out loud, just like I did. I would listen to this yesterday morning, and I'm going, oh, but I have a question. I have an answer. And then I heard Brian say something that I wanted to contradict him on, and I couldn't.
Well, you can always use a comment system.
That's right.
We love our comment system. So, yeah. Well, you can listen to Tour Wars, but also contact us through our website at CorellianRun.com. You can follow us on Twitter. You can also find us on Facebook. Leave your questions or ideas for discussion topics on Twitter or by voicemail. You can leave that voicemail at area code 281-766-4511.
All right, that wraps it up for us here at Corellian Run Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you again next week. You have been listening to Corellian Run Radio, a Star Wars The Old Republic podcast. Tune in next time to hear Jason say...
Meow.
That's Cathover. What's up?
End transmission.